Gospel with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Anyone don't have a Bible, raise your hand, please. Don, you have a Bible? Would you grab a Bible for Don for me, please? First Peter chapter 3, verse 12. And as I said before, please read ahead for Second Samuel that we are going to study sometime this year. If you have a sibling like I did, and we used to say one particular sentence often, what is it? It's not fair. And our mother and father used to tell us in response to that, life is not fair. And we thought that was a stupid answer. But when now we have children, guess what we say? Life is not fair. Can any of you tell me why good Christians have to suffer? That's a good Christian, isn't it? Why good Christians who follow God faithfully suffer? And that's one of the questions the non-believers ask. How good God can let this kind of thing happen to good people? Very good. That's the sovereignty of God. He knows what He's doing, and we are not to question, but we are to obey. Johnny Erickson Tada, some of you guys know her. Johnny Erickson Tada is paralyzed neck down. She cannot move anything other than her shoulder and her neck, most like sitting straight up. But she sings, she draws a picture with the pen in her mouth. Phenomenal Christian lady, devout Christian lady. If she was healthy like you guys, she wouldn't be able to touch people's lives like she does now. Because she is wheelchair-bound, she can touch the people's heart like no other people. She could ask, it's not fair. John Bunyan, some of you guys know him, and he read book. You read his book called Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote it in around 1660 in England. He was imprisoned because he was preaching the Word of God. And funny thing about that, his book is Chinese Communist government decided they're going to publish the Western cultural heritage things. One of the things they published is this Pilgrim's Progress. When they made the initial public printing, 200,000 copies, all of them is sold in 3 days. They didn't realize how powerful this book is. Actually, it's the progress of person being saved. And through this, even though he became famous, he was still in prison. And he could say, it's not fair. Or some of you guys, serving God faithfully day in, day out. And seems like a problem happens to you time after time. And you're thinking, it's not fair. Our response to this kind of thing, we can easily say, God, I deserve, I need a thing, I should get something, something special. I deserve something special. I don't want to say that because I know what I deserve. I deserve hell. But by mercy of God, I'm heaven bound. So I don't want what I deserve. But I ask God, your will, not my will. We're going to talk about this more intensely on Sunday morning. I will respond to the unfairness as all other issues is based on our perspective. How we want to look at it, what is our vintage point of view, and how we want to look at that thing, how selfishly I want to look at it. There's a two perspectives in everything, in my opinion. One is human perspective. Second one is a divine perspective. Human perspective says that I deserve something better. Don't get mad, get even. And looking out for number one, who would that be? Me. Me first, not somebody else. Unfortunately, we may succeed in getting even with other people. However, that peace still escapes us. I've never seen anyone says, that was good revenge and now I'm happy. We all heard that revenge is what? Sweet. It satisfied momentary, temporary desire. I got even with that person. It feels good. But after all, that person is still bitter. That person is still angry. Because it happened to them from the beginning. We really cannot settle down, have a peace in our heart until we surrender ourselves to God and release that controlling power over other people's lives. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we don't want to see the things the way we want to see, but we want to see the things the way you see, that we may have a peace that passes all man's understanding in our heart, in our lives. And we like to have that heart like Jesus, just like Jesus. Teach us. Help us to see the things the way you see. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When my wife was working for some people who she used to deliver grocery to the homebound people, there's one lady named Sylvia. In my opinion, she is the most cynical, bitter woman I've ever seen. I didn't have a whole lot of contact. I only met her one time, but I heard from my wife that how she acted toward other people. And the brief encounter I had with her was enough to tell me that what kind of person she is. To her, everybody is wrong. To her, everybody is doing anything right. Nobody can do anything right except her. She was handicapped because of polio when she was little, and she stuck in the crutch or the wheelchair rest of her life. She was cynical and bitter, and she died and went to grave with that cynical attitude. If we are not careful, we will be like that. I've seen many people who, as they grow older, they become more cynical and bitter. Ladies and gentlemen, the life we're living in this world is short. We don't need to be ugly to other people. When we are ugly to other people, we cannot really present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them proper way. Why would you listen to somebody who is cynical and bitter and they said you have a peace and you have a hope in God? And we just look at it, it's like, yeah, you don't look like you have a peace and hope in God. You're all bitter. Human perspective comes from our selfish, prideful heart. Always looking after number one, me. However, divine perspective requires a couple things that is not normal for us. Keep that in your heart. That is not normal for us. That is not natural for us. Let's go to verse 12 of chapter 3, 1 Peter. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. What does it mean? The principle of this sentence, the Apostle Peter is saying, is God sees all things. There's nothing escapes from his knowledge. Fancy word to say it is omniscient, knowing all things. By the way, there is a, I think I said this before. How many of you guys know YM? Any of you guys heard of YM? YM is the kind of thing that God really does not know you. In other words, God does not know you whether I'm gonna, does not know me enough to whether I'm gonna lift this paper or put it down. But He knows me, my tendency enough to He can guess. My God does not guess. My God knows exactly what I'm supposed to, what I'm going to do. That's heresy. That's ignoring the sovereignty of God. That's ignoring the omniscient presence of God. That's prevalent in the Christian realm. So if you hear that kind of thing, tell them to go take a hike. Okay? Now, again, we go back. If that's God knows, if God knows all things, why good things, bad things happen to good Christian people? And why doesn't He do something about it? Why He wait? Again, First Peter, I believe it's the Second Peter, it says, 1,000 days are like a one day, 1,000 years are like a one day, and 1 day is like 1,000 years to God. To Him, time is not limited. I'm going to make some philosophical concept. Let's say this, I'm drawing the dot does not have a size, one dot in the middle of the space. That's what we call the one first dimension. You agree with that? It's a concept only. It's only concept. Just one dot. No size, just dot. That's the first dimension. When that first dimension dot moves to the one direction, that becomes second dimension. Are you with me so far? Are you looking at me like a deer looking at the headlight? When that line moves to not only the one direction, it moves to an angle, that becomes third dimension. That's what you're seeing. Not just the width and length, you have a height. That's third dimension. You're looking at third dimension. You're looking at third dimension. Everything is around us is third dimension. However, we are not just living in the third dimension, we are living in fourth dimension. What is the fourth dimension? Time. From here to here. That's why we are bound by this called time zone. We have to divide the entire world while it's turning around. We have to divide it in 24 hours. Everything works in within the time zone. God is not in the time zone. God is not in the fourth dimension, but God is in the fifth dimension. How can I explain it? It's rather simple way. It's not proper way, but it's close to it. Have you ever played with an ant before? When you were a kid, ant, you know, crawling ant? You see the crawling ant, when you look at it from the point of view, you see the ant crawling here, a little later it's here, and a little later it's there. If you look at it, this is the past, this is the present, this is the future. To ant, he's going one direction, second dimension. But because we are in different third dimension, an ant cannot understand third dimension. Why? Because the ant starts from the floor and comes up here, it's still second dimension. Climbing up here, still second dimension. To ant, everything is a second dimension. But because we are in a third dimension, we can see the whole thing. You follow me? Yes? No? Do you want me to explain all over again? No. What I'm trying to say is, what we are to end is God is like to us. Because we are not in the same dimension, He can see past, present, and future. He's not bound by our time zone. Where am I going with this? I have no idea, but I remember. I know. If God sees what He's going to do later, why didn't He make it now? Remember what I said last week, last Sunday? God cares about our character more than our comfort. If He's not sitting on the throne of God, throne of grace, and is thinking that, what should I do to make Junho comfortable? He doesn't think that kind of thing. But he thinks about, what can I do to make him more like Jesus? I know it's going to take a long, but there's something I can do for him. He knows what he's going to do for me. Not to make me a millionaire, not to be a famous, but he is going to make me like Jesus. That is the bottom line, guys and gals. Christian means Christ-like. We want to be like Jesus. I'm not saying that we will be God, a gods or gods, little g gods. However, we're going to have a... that's what we want, be like Jesus Christ. Same character with the same obedient heart and same loving heart for other people. So instead of asking God, instead of complaining, and we should be obedient to God, instead of asking why, we should ask, what do you want me to learn? Instead of why do you do this, that, instead of that, we should ask, what do you want me to learn from this? Is it easy? No, it's not. Is it natural? No, it's not. Remember what I just said. It's not natural. Contrary to the human perspective, divine perspective requires humility and obedient heart. Knowing that God knows the best. You remember old TV series, Father Knows Best? That's true. Really. Our Father knows best. So whatever He chooses to do is good for us. We just sang that song. So how can we have a divine perspective? To have this divine perspective, Apostle Peter is teaching us from verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become follower of what is good?" During the time when Apostle Peter wrote this, this is a time when their persecution came to the highest height. Continued that over a million people was devoured by the lions in the Colosseum, or being ignited as a human torch on the side of the road as an example to follow some other god other than their emperor of the Rome. Even though they can be killed, nobody can harm their eternal salvation. See, if we have a human perspective, if we look at everything from the human point of view, this is the best thing we got. The car you guys drive, the house you have, if something happened to your house, of course you better be fragile and you better fret about it. If God is in it, if you are in God's hand, what does God say? He will meet all our needs according to His riches and glory. There was a time when I got out of my self-employment position and joined what was the name of that place? U.S. West Direct. That's right. The company changed its name so many times. They used to put the sign on with the Velcro. Just take it off, put a new one on. Anyway, then when I joined the U.S. West Direct, before then I was making a lot of money, and then I joined the company with a very low salary with a $9,000 back tax. You don't want to have an IRS on your back. If you don't trust me, just ask David Harwell. He can tell you. He's a tax agent. No, he doesn't work for IRS. He just works independently. Anyway, I never skipped, my family never skipped a meal, never missed a payment. We were a few times late. But God met my needs. He's faithful. He said that He is faithful and He will meet our needs in the Word, and He will not become unfaithful exception of you. He will meet our needs. It may not be the way we want, but He will meet our needs. First thing I find is consider yourself blessed by God. Consider yourself blessed by God. Whether you're in rolling on money or you don't roll on money, you barely making paycheck to paycheck. Let's go to the verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteous sake, you are blessed. Even if we suffer for righteousness sake, we are blessed. What does it mean? Let's say you do everything right in your workplace or home or wherever you go. Bad thing can happen. Instead of complaining about it, we can say, I am blessed by God, and accepting that God, this coming through God's providence will. What's the providence will? God grant that bad things to come along to build our character. Is it right thing in our perspective? No, it's not. But is it right thing in God's perspective? Yes. To train us. Is it natural? Remember the word I used? Is it normal for us? Accept that thing. No, it's not. It's supernatural. As a matter of fact, it's very spiritual. Let me give you a quiz. March 30th, 1981. Washington, D.C. Anybody know what happened that time? March 30th, 1981 in Washington, D.C. Very good. Give him a hand. Yeah. He's been watching History Channel. John Hinckley Jr. shot Ronald Reagan. He's not the only one who got shot. Bradley got shot, and another police officer got shot, and the secret agent named Dennis McCarthy got shot. What's the big deal about that? Other than attempt assassination of the President of the United States. That agent, Secret Service agent Dennis McCarthy, did something that is not natural. When the bullet flies, when the gunshot happens, what's the first thing people do? They duck. They dodge. You know what he did? He stepped right in. He stepped right in the line of fire. He took the bullet. By the way, after that, he started to wear the bulletproof vest. I guess it hurt him a little bit. So he did something is not natural, but his instinct was overtaken by what? Training. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the training time. When you come here to be trained. And when you go out, you're supposed to live according to what you've been trained. My job is not to make you feel good. My job is not to entertain you like Robert Schuller says. No, Rick Warren says, the guy who wrote the book Purpose Driven Life. I'm not supposed to entertain you. I'm not supposed to make you feel good. I'm not supposed to we feeling and give you a special experience. My job is to equip you so that you may go out to the work of God. This is a training ground, and I want you to be trained spiritually well that you may override your natural instinct and do something spiritual and supernatural thing. To say, yes, God, what do you want me to learn from these trials and tests? Instead of saying, why me? Why God? Why now? Second thing I should say is don't be afraid. One of the most frequent command in the Bible is fear not or do not be afraid. Why? Because we are afraid. What about this mighty saint who lived throughout the Old Testament and New Testament? They heard the same command from lips of God, just like we've been hearing. What about Joshua, the mighty general of the Israeli army? The first thing he said that when Jesus showed himself to Joshua in the path of Jericho road, he said, fear not. Verse 14, again, and do not be afraid of their threat, nor be troubled. Underline afraid, please, and underline troubled. Our phrase in Greek word is phobos, P-H-O-B-O-S, phobos. Guess what kind of word we get? Phobia. What does it mean? Fear. We get that word fear. Phobos, and become phobia. And the trouble in Greek means to be agitated, uneasy. So if we start afraid, guess what we get to have? We get to have also, we get to have no sleep at night, and bite the fingernail to the root. Have you ever seen some people has the real short fingernail because they bite all the time, they don't know what to do, so they grind their teeth and all the things? Why? Because they don't let go of those things. Sometimes they go let go and while they're praying, and then when they finish it, they get up and they pick up that trouble, put it back on their shoulder and walk away. That helps. Third thing that we should do to have a divine perspective is acknowledge Christ as laudable. Acknowledge Christ as laudable. I find in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. What does sanctify mean? In set apart, very good. In other words, we have to put our God set apart in our heart and keep our heart holy and righteous. How can we have holy and righteous? There's a phrase we often heard but we don't practice. It's garbage in. What do you say? Garbage out. So whatever we put it in our heart, that's what we're going to be. If we watch the wretched movie, we do things, wretched things, and we drink, and we cuss, guess what? And we hang around with the people who do the same kind of thing, then we will be like them. We will be worse than them. Why? Because we bear the name of Jesus Christ. It is more important for us to cultivate our closer relationship than getting involved with the worldly things. Why? Because we are Christian. Fourth thing I find is be ready to give a witness. Be ready to give witness. That I find in the second portion of verse 15. And always, online, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with the meekness and the fear. Underline the whole thing, please. From be ready. Always be ready. And you write the word next to it, apologetic. A-P-O-L-O-G-E-T-I-C-S. Apologetics. By the way, I'm going to name somebody's name that some of you may not like him. I may not like me saying that. Benny Hinn, who was so ignorant, said that, what are they doing? Who is there apologizing? It shows how ignorant he is. Apologetic doesn't mean that we are apologizing to somebody. We don't have to apologize to anyone. Apologetic means a defense of faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it means, defense of faith, apologetic. We are supposed to give a defense to everyone who asks for the reason for the hope. How can we have a hope when we don't believe in Jesus Christ? We cannot. And what kind of hope is that? Is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Having eternal life. That is a very important thing. We have to, as it is on, we underline the meekness and fear. Fear for what? Fear of God, not fear of man. Meekness, what does it mean? Meekness, does it mean weakness? There's a tremendous difference between meekness and weakness. Weakness means wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. All right? But the meekness, they hefty, 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 but in under control. You follow me? I just sang the commercial song just now. So, with the mighty strength, let me put it this way. Mighty stallion, but under control. Tamed stallion. Just because that stallion is tamed, that doesn't mean he lost his strength. He has mighty strength, like a war horse, can smell the blood of the war battlefield, yet He is under control. That's meekness. Jesus was meek. Moses was meek. Jesus, we'll study that portion. He could call down the 12 legions of angels. One angel killed 184,000 Syrian army overnight. Times one legion is about 6,000 soldiers. Or some people say 12,000 soldiers. 6,000, just to be easy, times 12 legions, that's 72,000 angels, and times 184,000. There is not enough people to go around for each angel to kill in their world. However, he didn't even need those angels. He could say, all of you gone, gone. He didn't show his raw power, but yet he controlled his strength. That's a meekness. What's that got to do with us? We are not to bully people to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen carefully. Let's not bang non-Christian with our Bible. Okay? That's what I used to do when I was a baby Christian. I couldn't wait to brandish my knowledge that I had very little to show off how ignorant they are, how stupid they are, and they're going to hell. But let's talk to them in love. The same love that we want God to display to us. And same mercy God extend to us. If we do that, they will realize that we love them. Non-believers may be lost, but they are not stupid. Instead of bullying them into the salvation, let's woo them into the love of God. Did you hear me? Let's not bully them, but let's woo them. And when they see the love of Jesus Christ through us, they want to have that kind of love. And they will come. That doesn't mean we just make them feel good. We have to show them the holiness of the righteousness of God. But we don't have to pound their head with the Bible either. Alright, let's continue. I want you to jot down a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And why don't we go there? 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge pops up, but the love, some of your versions said, it builds up. That is a correct translation. Also, at 1 Timothy. I forgot which one. Anyway, knowledge pops up, love builds up. Colossians 4:6, please. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ought to answer each one. We are to answer with everything with grace and mercy. Yeah, now 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2. Sorry. This is a very important thing. This is not just about limited to the preachers. This is for all of us. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen up. If you don't know how to lead people to Christ without looking at the Bible, you have a problem. You need to practice that, how to lead people to Christ at the moment of notice. And you have to know how to defend your faith at moment of notice without Bible. What does it mean? That means you have to memorize the Bible verses. You guys been doing the memorizing Bible verse one verse a week, right? You've been doing it all this time, right? Right? End of the year, I'm going to give you a pop quiz. So that's how you get to know the heart of God, memorizing the Word and studying the Word. If you don't, you cannot be ready. Apologetic is not to win the argument, but to win the heart of the person who will listen. So majority of you guys filled out the ministry application, right? First, front page, it was not a big problem. Second page, it was asking a lot of doctrines. When you finished that, did it help you? I bet you did. I bet it helped you a great deal. Before, probably you couldn't write it down, what's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can tell other people what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It is important for you to study. There's two things. When I was in school, my teacher used to teach me that I should do the review and preview. Yeah, right. I can barely keep up with what they've been teaching. I didn't know what the preview was, the review was. It is important for us to do that. When you go home, you should, during the teaching, you should make a note, and when you go home, go over to the scripture, what I said. See if I taught you truth or not. Before you come here, you should read what I'm going to teach. How do you know what I'm going to teach? Because you, most of the time, you have that in the bulletin. That's a preview. When you go home, you should do a review. While you're doing that, you'll be surprised how much you get to know the Word of God. And you will be ready, in season, out of season, to correct and prove and exhort and in teaching. All right. Let's go to verse 16. Having good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Fame is what other people think about you and what you want them to think about you. But the character is what God knows about you. Did you hear that? Fame is what you want other people to know about you, but the character is what God knows about you. True character will remain no matter what kinds of fame we have. But God sees character, not the fame. Let's go to chapter 16 in Proverbs, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. This is one of those verses that you should memorize. Chapter 16, verse 7. When the way man's ways please the Lord, that he makes even his enemy to be at peace with him. God is in control. And we have to realize that when he is in control, we have a good character and good behavior. There's nothing more powerful, more eloquent defense than our good integrity. Hey guys, listen up, please. This is very important. There is no more eloquent defense than our true integrity in Christ Jesus. When we do everything in right in the sight of God, that's integrity, and we don't have to be afraid of anyone else. If they try to harm us, God will be our defense lawyer. He will protect us. Let's go back to 1 Peter again, chapter 3, verse 17. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. Let's make two applications. Number one, are you ready to give defense of your faith, which means apologetic, at any time? Are you ready to give your defense of faith to anyone, to any time, without Bible. Because you cannot carry your Bible all the time. Are you ready? If not, be ready, please, by studying the Word and memorizing the Word into your heart. Second thing, we must treat non-believers with the respect and love. We must treat non-believers with the respect and love. As I said before, non-believers are not less people than us. They are where we were. They are where we were there before Christ. We were there once. Now we are in Christ Jesus. They are living in the darkness. Just because they are living in the darkness, that doesn't mean they are stupid. Remember what I said. Let's not bully them, but let's woo them into the love of God. All right? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We learn what to do and